Hey, this is Ken Sully in Washington, D.C.
And this is Tech Sully. Hopefully my air conditioner is not roaring in the background. I probably should kill that.
So I just wanted to start out this podcast by letting everyone know it's brought to you by 1-800-GOT-JUNK. That's not true. It's not sponsored by anyone. But no, I was just on a really dark, thought process today, and I was thinking, hey, if I die because I drive around the stupid DC area all the time, and I'm pretty sure I'm gonna get. I hear the traffic reports. You know, there was just like a farm truck or something that had a massive accident, and there's produce all over the road. The amount of dumb, crazy traffic stuff around here, I just wanted to say that, and I want this recorded, could you just, I know my wife doesn't want any of my stuff, so if I die, just could you just go and get whatever you want, and then just 1-800-GOT-JUNK all the rest, please.
Sure, sure. Also, the standard contract stipulates clearing your browser history too.
I know. I don't even need to say that to you. You're just like, I'm gonna get all the hard drives and you'll do like a Viking burial for me, but it'll be my hard drives and thermite instead of my corpse.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And also, it should involve a trebuchet just for historical.
Yes. It'll be all my bandanas wadded up into a giant ball and on a trebuchet, chucking it into a boat made out of my 15-year-old disgusting couch with all my hard drives on it covered in thermite. Yeah. Shit, well, now I'm hoping I get T-boned. Okay, no.
Well, the big news of my life right now, I figured out that I was still paying homeowner's insurance on my old house. I think three Wiretap Wednesdays ago, I complained that I never saw the drop in when I got older. You're supposed to see a drop in your insurance that you're paying. And I said, I didn't see the drop. Well, today I went through with a fine tooth comb on my insurance policy. And since my homeowners and auto insurance are rolled in together, I found out I was paying insurance on a house I haven't owned for over a year.
Wowee. That's pretty bad.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you got that sorted out.
So that'll be a nice boon for me. I probably want to, we'll have to pay for my car insurance for a while.
Mazel tov. Okay, so what's going on in the media world? Have you found anything you like?
In the IT security world, last week was DEF CON, and it's absolutely the SNBC comics summed it up best. If you ask an airline pilot, they'll tell you, "Hey, it's a great time to fly." Never have planes been safer. We haven't had a deadly plane accident in the U.S. in over a decade. That wasn't a jumbo jet, and it wasn't pilot error. It's super safe to fly. If you ask bus drivers, if you ride the bus, you're less likely to be injured than if you ride in a car. But when it comes to voting, if you ask anybody in cybersecurity whether we should be doing all electronic voting, every one of them will say no. Nope, not even close. Yeah. We're not even close to being ready. There's a brilliant video I retweeted last week where in under 2 minutes, half the time with her just smiling for while she's describing what she's going to do, she does the steps to absolutely root a voting machine that's used in 18 different states in under 2 minutes. So, you could literally easily be in a voting booth for 2 minutes.
This is one of the things that bothers the crap out of me. I actually thought about this today, and You know what I think the very simple solution to all the voting problem is?
Paper?
Is, not only paper, but you also have to get rid of any sort of voting that's not in person. And I think what that basically means is, everybody says, well, there's military people, they have to vote. Okay, I've been in the military. You have an address. And guess what? The military is part of the federal government. We deal with paperwork all the time. How about whenever there's an election, set up an election booth, a voting booth, on every single military base. Every single military base around the world. You know what? That's paperwork that,
We actually have a term for doing that, too. It's provisional paper or provisional balloting.
Yeah, but that's the thing. I don't trust these organizations that do the mail-in ballot. Think about it. We're getting hey, who are you going to vote for, and in the election where our parents live? All this sort of stuff. I got called to jury duty in the county where my parents live. And I'm thinking, I haven't lived anywhere near here for a decade and a half, and yet these goofballs still have me on the voter roll, even though I properly registered to vote in another town, did the change of address and all that stuff. When you realize, holy crap, I could have been living and registering to vote in different areas and firing off absentee ballots to all these places. Literally, you could do that. And the benefits to hunting down every time that happens is so low, it just doesn't happen. It also, here's another fun fact. There actually is in-person voter fraud, which also doesn't get hunted down because it's just too much of a hassle. This is one of those things where people say, there's no such thing as in-person voter fraud. No, there is, but it's just a election official who's basically hired like a temp worker who has to be the one who goes, oh, sorry, your name's already checked off on the list. And, how many people at a store make a federal case out of somebody doing something wrong at a store if they're a temp worker? Yeah. It just doesn't happen.
Well,
they go and talk and say, hey, Jan Smith already checked in, and another person here says, she's Jan Smith, and they go, oh, it just go ahead and let her vote. It's okay.
Well, happens? There's another thing for that, and I've seen it happen in person. In Waynesboro, Virginia, there somebody did that where they came in and said, "Hey, my name is blah, and I'm here to vote." And they figured it out even while they were standing there. At least on this particular one, that it was the guy didn't specify, because once they actually looked at the address. He didn't specify which one of those, and any small town, you've got a lot of the same person with the same name. You got juniors, and you got your thirds, you got all that. And that one, they figured out, okay, this one's that, this one's that. They did the provisional ballot for the person that was there, and then they had to, because you can't know what the other vote was for. So they had to basically flag something as, at least one of the ballots was not legit. But yeah, I mean, it happens, but it also, by the same token, if it happened where everybody shows up to a precinct and they're like, no, you were here earlier, for it to happen enough that you would actually, make any kind of swing.
Yeah,
it would be easy to track, because a lot of people going, yeah, it's happened the last three times. I'm going to get there at 6 a.m.
Well,
this time.
The one type of in-person voter fraud that was attempting to go down in the D.C. area was we have a whole bunch of different jurisdictions that, like just as we talked, I've probably driven through three different voting precincts. So there was a guy who was trying to exploit that, and he had registered to vote six times, just in different precincts. So that was a there's other weird things like that. My point is, if you simply eliminated that by making that's the other thing. Like Philip DeFranco brought this up. He said you got to make voting day a holiday,
yeah,
so that we can you can have everybody gets to go vote. That's the only thing you have to do all day. The voting booth will be open, you know, 24 hours if it has to be, but that's going to be everyone gets to vote that day. And I said, so you got military bases will be voting booth is your military base. If you're overseas, you can, if you gotta file a, if you gotta file paperwork to, leave base every weekend, you should be able to file paperwork to vote in an election at a military base. I think it's silly that they act like, oh yeah, you have to send in a ballot because you're somewhere far, far away from where you live. No. You literally live at that military base. You have a bed there. You have an address there. Doesn't matter where you are. So I think that's something they need to do. They need to fix that. And then they just need to have a rudimentary level of security for registering to vote and voting. In the Commonwealth of Virginia, you gotta show some form of ID. And people still figure out how to vote, and they vote predominantly Democrat when it comes to gubernatorial elections.
It's one of the things where you never know you're in a swing state until your state swings. You know, because this is traditionally, at least in this area, part where I am, for 20, I think it was 21 years, the Democrats didn't even bother running anybody. You know, the entire election basically happened at the primary, because it's going to end up that way. It's, you know, there's no point in putting anybody on the ballot. You know, Fiddler Crabs get as much shot as a Democrat in that district. So it's just a matter, although, I mean, a couple of things, like I said, like you said, hey, make it a national holiday, make it a big thing, get people involved. Yeah. The thing is nowadays, back years ago, getting a photo ID was super duper hard. Well, now anybody, I mean, the ability to print any kind of ID is super duper simple. The machines to print a even, you know, decent cardstock in a laminator is something I set up for a client that has people that have those little boop cards that log in, you know, clock in. And we figured out the cost per each one of those setups is, I think, 28 cents.
One of the worst contractor agencies I ever worked for actually had, they had a thick printed card for me that had my face on it and all that. And it was printed, the HR printed it right at her desk. You could have local governments, which like in the city here, if you turn, gosh, I can't even remember. I think it's 12. Kids can get a form of identification. I think it's a student ID.
I had a driver's license at 14 in Kansas. But hold on. The part I was going to get to is,
oh yeah,
at 28 cents a person, it would not take much. You know, I would gladly donate you know, $30 a year to cover the costs of, you know, 100 other citizens, at least, to, you know, 30, 50, whatever, you know, just to, if we want to have that thing where like, oh, it's just a way of, you know, keeping poor people out of voting. Well, hey, if we want to lock it in, make it easy, I'm sure a lot of us that are free speech fans would gladly pay to make sure that, hey, it's not the barrier to entry.
I got so upset whenever the that was actually I posted that on the podcast back in 2014 was the this pasty little blonde news reporter. I got his little fat face up on my WordPress account because he's smirking, going literally saying black people can't figure out how to get IDs. And that's why it's racist to ask them to show IDs. And he was very proudly stating he was a Democrat and that that you know Democrats are the ones who care about black people because they know that black people are afraid to get IDs or don't know how. And that's when I just had to throw it out there, like, okay, I've worked with Democrat agencies. But I'm very, 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 very much not a Democrat. I cannot possibly be involved with an organization that is this racist, that literally thinks an entire swath of the country are subhuman and can't do basic things. Also, I worked in a job that was like 98% African American, and they all had IDs. Everybody there had IDs. All my bosses, who were all black, all had IDs. Everybody had IDs. So the weird Democrat statement, and the fact that even black Democrats would repeat that, and it's like, how are you saying this thing? It doesn't make any sense. And then one of the things they stated was, well, elderly people actually they were convinced that this was one of the number one sales things on it, where they tried to explain it, where they said elderly black people in the South specifically were told that if they got registered at the DMV that their organs would be harvested. And instead of convincing them otherwise, they just told them, nah, it's okay, you never need to get registered at the DMV. Instead of educating someone that they don't need to live in fear of their organs being harvested, they just try to continue to have unsafe elections.
What, there's a,
instead there, of there, educating there's people a... that they don't need to live in fear.
There is a historical precedent back when right after the Civil War, when they were trying to figure out ways to keep black people from voting, they came up with things like the poll tax and literacy tests because they knew, hey, almost none of these people, when they were slaves, were educated in literacy. But we now have public education that hopefully should at least get people up to a eighth grade reading level. With any luck, with any hope, I'm like, how are you? I don't understand if you can't read at all. How are you going to vote for anything anyway? But maybe I'm underthinking that one.
I think we all probably know some people of the lighter hue that would be ruled out by a literacy test.
I have cousins that.
And
hold on. Can I go off on a rant for a second here?
Please.
Because you and I both did 23andMe. We absolutely loved it. I checked every box for help out with science, and I found out some interesting things. I had an 80% chance not to be bald. Guess what? Beat those odds. But other things like I have a 75% chance to be less afraid of heights. I am not afraid of heights. There's kind of interesting like things you learn about yourself. Well, other people I talked to were like, oh, I would never give them my DNA. I'm like, no, use my DNA, save a life. If you make one person's life even moderately better by using my DNA, go for it. I'm a little annoyed that they're going to profit from it and I'm not going to see a dime of that. But by the same token, you got to pay for that research.
I saw a documentary about this where a guy's DNA was in some researcher's hands, and they cloned a little girl with his DNA, and then just like randomly she gets dropped on his doorstep like 12 years later, and then he has to help her escape to Canada.
I must have missed this movie. It sounds like an X-Men movie.
Yeah. Okay. Even without seeing it, you still guessed it. It was Logan.
Canada was the tip off there. I don't know why, but the X-Men movies vilify comics always. Canada is a subtly dark place. But my other part.
No.
What's that?
Canada's the promised land in that one. See.
Oh, okay. Well, the other side of the rant is, so I'm an organ donor. I even got the organ donor license plate, partially because you had to pick something if you're going to renew your plates online. And, you know, I couldn't find anything I really wanted to be rah, rah, rah about. And I was like, hey, organ donor, if you can harvest my irises or my kidneys or whatever, save a life with me when my commute inevitably eventually kills me. But my speaking of cousin-in-laws were like, oh, I'd never be an organ donor. They'll harvest your organs if you're even just moderately injured. They'll put a gas mask on you and steal your organs. And I'm like, For who? And of course, then this is where it turned racist. They informed me that it was the Jews that would get my organs. And I'm like, well, you know, and at the time I wasn't a vegetarian, but I was like, well, they're going to really, really crave some ham afterwards, apparently. But
Well, you know, there is one person on the planet that would be compatible with your weird organs, and it just happens to be Jewish. So that is ironic.
It is ironic, yes.
They were telling the truth. Speaking of Jews and conspiracies, that's a perfect transition to Ethan Klein, H3H3 Productions on YouTube. They were breaking down the what I think might be a horrible suppression of freedom of speech if it wasn't done entirely by private companies. That goofball Alex Jones getting his stuff shut down.
Yeah.
Alex Jones got kicked off of a bunch of social media platforms, which I'm very, very concerned by, because it does seem like a sort of a pack mentality. They all turned on him and shut him down.
I mean, Reason.com had op-eds all over the place, and basically they're all some form of the Larry David doing the one way or the other look, you know, from Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Because it's like what he was saying was, I mean, he purported to be news, but you know, anything that is asserted without evidence could be dismissed without evidence. And he actively caused harm with his words. People that had loved ones that were killed, send his alkalites out. I mean, he didn't directly say, go attack the parents of kids who are dead, but they would.
You know, I gotta say, I'm a Freemason. So his special brand of crazy 100% encourages people he's sort of like Louis Farrakhan. His special brand of crazy encourages people who want to believe in those big broad conspiracy theories. And it'll encourage them to be belligerent towards you because you're a Freemason, because you're maybe because you're Jewish. Now, he wasn't one of the anti-Semites, but amongst the conspiracy people, it's, you know, the how far do you have to go before you're anti-Semitic? And it's not very far in the conspiracy world. It is one of those things where a guy's car was broken down in front of a Masonic hall. The guy wasn't even a Mason, and a crazy guy comes up to him and just starts ranting, saying, "Are you a Mason?" And he's like, "No," and you know, "My car's broken down." And the guy just starts ranting about the Trilateral Commission and how the Rothschilds are taking over, and the guy physically attacks this guy whose car is broken down on the side of the highway, and that didn't happen to anybody in the Masons, but they had to let us know, like, "Hey, just give you a heads up, there's some crazy people going around." And yeah, the guy didn't pull that concept out of thin air. That's the sort of crazy stuff that Alex Jones purports and reports to everyone as if it's news.
The fact that it has the semblance of news is my problem. What's his name? Coast to Coast. George Norrie. And then who's the guy before George Norrie?
Art Bell.
He would have the same crazy stuff on there, but it didn't have the hateful, "You need to take action on this edge," kind of thing. You know, it was, you know, you would have 9 different people call in 3 weeks apart that they were the Antichrist, you know, and there was no action that any crazy person would have needed to take. You know, I always joke that was the people that called into that show, you could hear them organizing their jars of urine. You know, they were all a special kind of crazy, but they were pretty harmless at that point. When people who are unhinged are able to take little things and make hay out of them in the wake of 9/11. We had so much violence against Sikhs. Sorry, I have a dog fight happening in my house. There was so much violence against Sikhs because people who are idiots and angry don't know the difference between a Sikh and a Muslim.
Right. Well, you know, this is a situation too that we see on the mainstream where you have the Patriot Prayer Group, which is an anti-racist, hyper-conservative group. So it's blacks and Hispanics and Caucasian people, but they'll be parts of the protests or the rallies for Trump. Mm-hmm. And because people are running around calling them Nazis, we've seen these people get shot, stabbed, these are, like I pointed out, some of these are very, very, very not white people, and yet the one dude got just a brutal video of him getting smashed in the face and pepper sprayed by people who are radicalized by not even really fringe media. All mainstream media calls these people Nazis, which is really, really, really scary, because you can see where if you call people Nazis, that's something you need to take action against. What's his name? Alex Jones calls people pedophiles and child rapists and all this stuff, which is something that people feel, holy crap, I need to take action against, which is where you saw the Pizzagate situation.
Yeah. And that's what I said is that guy, you know, it hurts my heart for that guy, because his intentions were the most honorable of intentions. He thought he was going to single-handedly take down a child sex ring. I mean, absolutely the best possible intentions there. I'm on board. Unfortunately, he ruined his life and terrified a bunch of other people by taking action.
I think it's so wonderful too that you can see that. You can actually look at the entire broad situation and see a guy that genuinely wanted to help children he thought were in the basement of a building that did not have a basement.
It makes me mad at the person that sent him the commands, you know?
But here in D.C., though, I was driving a nice, nice, nice a guy who talked like an NPR reporter, and he was with his daughter in the car, and we drove past Comet Ping Pong, and I pointed out, I was like, that's crazy. I heard that guy got sentenced. And he goes, that guy should be fucking killed.
All right, I gotta bleep you.
Yeah, please do. I was just sort of blown away that the guy, you know, switched his, how dare he? And the guy, you know, is just so hateful towards this guy. I'm thinking, okay, I see that he scared the people in your neighborhood, but he, you know, I didn't argue with the guy, but I thought, my gosh, like, the dude literally thought he was saving children, and this dude wants him murdered. You know, he wants this guy murdered by the state.
Yeah,
even though he didn't kill anyone, he didn't even hurt anyone. He literally just scared people. And I'm thinking too. I'm from North Carolina, where people walk around with guns all the time. So like, this dude, when you really think of it like that, my gosh, this dude really just wants this guy killed by the state for bringing a gun into D.C.
He fired a shot. He made threats because he thought he was threatening bad people. You know, I mean, in his mental story he was writing, he's the Punisher kicking in the door. You know, he's going to save the day. His intentions, but the problem is his filter isn't working right because, you know, his brain's not entirely right. You know, it's and so that's why I am for free speech, but by the same token, I do not have, you know, in our tiny little bubble that we have here on the podcast, where, you know, we have, you know, a couple of hundred people downloading the episodes, and we have a couple of thousand people that will read whatever transcript we put up there over time. But I would not have an Alex Jones or a David Icke or any of those people, because need to give them a mouthpiece. I don't need that. They have the right to free speech, but they also don't have to have it. I don't have to give it to them.
Right.
Free speech means the government's not stopping them from saying things. Now, the thing is too, though, there are penalties for false speech and for incitements to violence, you know, famous yelling fire in a crowded theater. So there can be actionable things. It's free speech to say, let's cheat on our taxes. Here's how I'm going to cheat on my taxes. And if somebody follows your advice, there is definitely you can be liable for the free things you just done said. Shout out to our free what are they called? Freelanders.
Oh goodness gracious! Yeah, no, those goofballs.
Yeah.
Let me put back to H3H3's coverage of it.
Yeah.
He was doing a live broadcast on YouTube about his podcast. So it's several different issues, and if people like freeform podcasts that are slightly more organized than ours, check out H3H3 podcast on YouTube. It's pretty entertaining, but it actually got shut down.
All right, hold on. Here's a deal.
Talking about,
here's a deal I'll make. Anybody that has found our podcast before finding H3H3s, the first person to contact me saying that that was them that found them that way, I'll send them $10.
What? Oh, wow. Okay. Yes, yes.
It's got to be the first person. But
right. Yeah. So you get $10 if we introduced you to one of the most popular podcasts in the world.
That's my point. Is if you find what's the one? Wait. You know, if you found us before you find wait, don't tell me.
Okay, I get your point. They're much bigger than us. But my point is, he's talking about the Alex Jones situation, and I'm guessing by algorithm, and then by, you know, some low level flagger, his feed got knocked off the air.
Huh.
So they flagged his account for community guidelines for talking about Alex Jones. And he was actually defending YouTube in their taking down of Alex Jones when he got taken down for discussing Alex Jones.
Wow.
So if you want to see, if you want to see his meltdown, I'll send you the link so you can post it in the description of this.
So many people are afraid of AI taking over the world. AI will accidentally kill itself, guarantee you.
Right.
Every time.
Here's the thing. I was talking to Sophia about this. I said, listen, you got this stupid algorithm, and we've all been hit by the algorithm at some point. You know, you get hit by the algorithm for some stupid reason because it automatically, you know, rats you out for having Mario on in the background or something like that, or somebody flags you for community guidelines because you mentioned something they don't like, and even though your video isn't ISIS or porn, you have to go through the process of rebutting some stupid claim that some pissy person put up there.
Even tonight, I was, you know, my dogs are wrestling in my living room, and I said, oh, hold on a second, I have a dog fighting here. Now, an algorithm could flag that as, guess what, you're getting banned because you run a dog fighting ring.
Yes, yeah, how dare you. Exactly. That's exactly how it would get flagged out with the algorithm. But before the algorithm went full Ultron on everybody, they tried to do something called YouTube Heroes, which was basically crowdsourcing flagging videos, and everybody responded to it with this mass wave of outrage. Ethan H3H3 and Philip DeFranco, PewDiePie, all the YouTubers I watch basically were all out and out outraged by the concept of the YouTube Heroes initiative. And so YouTube backed off of that and just turned everything over to Skynet.
I see, and maybe it's because I work in this industry, but I have seen so many times it's absolutely hilarious. A company, I'm not going to mention any names here, but you know, video game company, big popular video game company, ended up having their own videos be taken down and then being stricken off of YouTube because the algorithm saw that they had their content on their channel and then said, hey, you've got to take this down. And then the hilarious thing is I thought, okay, well, clearly after the fallout of that and getting all that fixed, they're going to have where that doesn't happen again. Then when they're trying to, in like review copies, you know, help sales, the whole reason I bought this one medieval game was because I saw reviews of people playing it. And I was like, oh, cool. And it's only $25. I'll buy that. Reviews make you buy things. It's part of the marketing thing. And the algorithm took all of those reviews down and then gave strikes out to all the reviewers who were invited to. So, I mean, it's like, yeah, they're not only burning the hand that feeds them, they're burning and then branding the person that feeds them. You know, it's,
yeah. Oh, yeah. Because that flag can stay on your account.
Yeah. Well, we got hit by it, too.
Sheesh. Oh yeah, the podcast. Yeah, the podcast with no views was somehow botting for views. That's freaking adorable. I love that. I love how we could bot and not have any views.
Yeah,
but I still haven't quite figured that one out. But Google definitely figured it out. They turned down your appeal. Sorry. Let's go back to the H3 situation. Better yet, we're done talking about that. Alex Jones is Alex Jones. We've talked about that. Freedom of speech is important.
Freedom of speech is important, but I don't have to listen to you.
Exactly. Oh, I do want to say one huge thing though. After the situation in Charlottesville, I was actually kind of aggravated because there was that the organization that this was the Charlottesville kerfuffle last year, where there was the peaceful yet spooky tiki torch protest on the Friday night, and then on the Saturday there was just like pockets of people fighting in different areas, and then protesters funneled into each other, and that's when the schizo from Ohio rammed his car into people, resulting in several injuries and the death of one of the counter protesters. That situation, I was curious to know. They kept saying white nationalist group, and some people were, going ahead and saying neo-Nazi, and of course, there's the other famous ones people throw around. But it was actually a group that had a name. I'm not going to advertise for them, and to be honest, I don't even remember what it was. But I found it in an article, and I tried to look them up, and their hosting service had shut down, which
Shut them
was a
down.
little frustrating. It had shut them down, and it was a little frustrating because I was curious to find out what they actually believed, because you will have groups out there that will be, yelling like, you need to use everything you have at your disposal to fight. There's terrorist groups that very specifically say, use your car and run into people. So I thought, okay, I want to see their website and see if they say anything like that. And because, not only do I work on this, but I work on another website. And I very specifically wanted to know, is this a group that states we sure would like politics to be like the good old days back in Europe, which is about as deep as most white nationalist groups are. They are about that intellectually deep. They go, Europe sure was neat back in the day. We want everything to be like that again. And it's super intellectual. I'm mocking them. And I wanted to know if it was like that or if it was a group that was giving actionable statements out. And the hosting service had apparently preempted my curiosity on behalf of freedom of speech and protected us from their website, which I thought was kind of silly because obviously I don't know. It's a very frustrating situation for me. You also have situations where people go out. There was a guy who killed six police officers and posted a bunch of stuff online before he did it, and you can't read any of the stuff he posted. He very specifically wanted it out there, but
Yeah, see, and that's where I'm kind of torn because the type of people that take the fringe people, the people that aren't operating on all cylinders, if you make it harder for them to get information to do those crazy things, a good example. I have access to people with milling machines and things like that. I could make a rifle, a gun or something like that. That would be off the records. There would be absolutely no information that this was built or made or whatever. And that's what everybody's freaking out about with the 3D printed guns. But by the same token, the barrier to entry on the 3D printed gun, if you know anything about 3D printing and stuff like that, I would never fire that thing. You're going to lose your hand. But if it's something that you can go to your school and toss the job up on the printer, there's going to be kids blowing their hands off. I mean, I'm of two minds of it because it's like, and here's the thing, we've passed laws that say ISPs are responsible for the content on their thing, thanks to the RIAA and the MPAA. So in other words, if you're handing out pirated stuff, you can be culpable, and by an extension, because that's how laws work, if they did have a website that says, "Hey, take a rascal and run into people with it," at Walmart. And you've got that on your website, and then there's a wave of people getting hit by rascals. That could be actionable. Your ISP could be in serious trouble for allowing you to have that up there.
Right.
That's why I'm of two minds of it. Because I can see why they take it down. Because hey, we don't need this crap. We're an ISP. We don't want to be having to deal with
Well,
having to.
my only aggravation with that particular situation was that actually wasn't anything that they said. They never said go out and do violence. They were one of those. Boy, it would be so nice if things were like how like the fascists were, because the fascists were super cool. They are one of those groups, so they actually didn't they didn't promote violence on their website. But taking their website down allowed news outlets to basically scare people into thinking that the schizo from Ohio was working somehow on the orders of the white nationalists. Super Hydra that was sending people out to go murder you with their cars, and you all needed to be afraid of it. And I heard so many people going, basically saying that to me for weeks after about how that was the real thing they needed to be concerned about in life. And
One of the most yeah well and I've ranted on that before because it's like the one of the most dangerous things we have in America are horses. More people are injured or killed by horses than by the one very specific gang that is all the rage now on all the news things. It's you got a better chance of having Mr. Ed take you out than an El Salvadorian gang. Now, within reason. That's in my area. In your area, you've got a better chance of having the other thing happen because there's not as many horses around you. But I have right across from me five of those homicidal monsters just, over there whinnying and eating hay,
And I really want people to understand about statistics too. I want people to know. I love too when the Charlottesville paranoia was at its peak. People were going, it's white people that do the most terrorism. Okay, well, if the country is predominantly white, I should freaking hope so. Do you realize how crazy? Like, we would literally need to be being invaded by another group or country for that demographic to change. If you're in a predominantly Caucasian country, Caucasians should be doing most of the murders. If that changes, that's really wild and wacky. So it's totally normal. You're literally just stating a normal fact. And I really want people to know that the statistics don't mean that, like, if there's a guy with a windowless panel van, and it says MS-13 on the side, and he's offering you a ride to the store, with all of his friends in the back seat, like saying, "Hey, man, we'll give you some beer too." Don't be like, "Well, I'm more likely to be killed by a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, so it's totally normal for me. It's a total good idea for me to get in this car." Okay, so like, just remember, statistics don't they don't mean that you will not get killed by an MS-13 person. And if you're in an area like where I live, some of the stupid people that I know live in Montgomery County and are quoting the statistics about, it's going to be a white person, not a El Salvadorian, who kills people, probably. You're like, okay, that's the country as a whole, but in Montgomery County, you're much more likely to get your head chopped off by a machete of a wielded by an El Salvadorian person and less likely by someone named Smith. That's where the statistics do fall through at different points.
One of my favorite statistics is the gun statistic. If you have a gun and you have fired it at a person, statistically speaking, that person is you.
Either accidentally or by suicide. Accidents number two, suicide number four on causes of death. Let's jump to that to a fun subject real quick. I mean, by fun, I mean really infuriating for me after watching Age of Ultron. So you've watched Age of Ultron and you watched Infinity War, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And Thanos.
I had not.
Thanos did nothing.
I had not watched Infinity War or Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
Before watching Infinity War. So after watching Infinity War, I'm saying it wrong. I watched Infinity War before watching Age of Ultron, and I was infuriated at how freaking wasted Scarlet Witch and Vision were.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Let's do some spoilers here. Spoiler alert, everyone. I had no clue that Vision
was the guy.
But he was the freaking messiah forged by vibranium and or made of vibranium and nanobot technology, forged by the hammer of Thor. And the entire reason why Thor forged him, along with all the super science of Tony Stark, and the hot doctor that they introduced for like a minute before shooting, so all this super science went into him.
Hold on,
the
entire reason. 30 seconds. Pause.
Okay. All right.
So you're saying you know here's this. This robo-messiah forged by both technology and magic.
And what? Why did Thor say he actually explained why he forged him with his lightning hammer?
Yes.
The entire reason was he could protect the stone, the Infinity Stone.
Yeah.
It was a sentient Infinity Stone that could protect itself.
Yeah.
And they made this reference like something bad could be coming for that Infinity Stone, and it really seemed like a foreshadowing of, oh yeah, maybe there's going to be some kind of war about those Infinity Stones, some sort of Infinity War possibly. And then what happens? What happens in the movie Infinity War with Vision and Scarlet Witch?
A whole lot of nothing.
Friggin' nothing. They spend the entire movie fighting each other, literally, where he's saying, please, you kill me and rip the stone out. And she's like, I don't wanna! And then she actually kills him to rip the stone out. And then, of course, by that point, Thanos is powerful enough to literally just change time and bring him back to life and then rip the stone out himself. And it was just so dumb, because it was like, which, to be honest, looking back, and I thought that was one of the more touching, like, one of the more sad scenes. And then after I watched Age of Ultron, I was like, that was a sad scene. That was a dumb scene. The entire movie could have been just like, oh, the Scarlet Witch could literally rip his brain inside out from the inside while Vision blows his body into molecules. And that would have been the entire movie right there. But instead, they put the two most powerful characters killing each other instead of, which is stupid.
Yeah, definitely. I was kind of disappointed because I was like, here you have these two amazingly powerful characters, and you know, there's some charming scenes with Vision, like you know, he picks up the hammer, you know, after oh God, sorry, my puppy keeps getting these things that are a choking hazard, but the you know, they're like talking about. Well, you know, you ride an elevator with it, and the elevator can carry it up. You know, so I mean, you know, there it's just you know, cute, clever, funny moments there with the thing, and yeah, it wasn't really all that. Yeah, it was kind of disappointing. Now, I mean, there were some great. I mean, the pacing on Infinity War was amazing. I mean, you to have that many characters and not feel like you're being like you know just shot with a fire hose the entire time. Was great, and the fact that they had humor in there, you know, you got Hulk playing the comedy, you know where he pops the helmet off. You guys are screwed now, you know. I mean, it's just there. I loved Infinity War, but yeah, you're one. I definitely got to agree. Your gripe there is well taken.
Yeah, they spent an entire movie making they spent an entire movie preventing Infinity War from happening, and then just Infinity War happened.
Yeah.
Like imagine an entire movie about going and getting a condom, and then the next movie is just about getting AIDS because you didn't use a condom. Like that's
Yeah, we're pregnant.
it's like what happened to that entire movie about getting a condom? This doesn't make any sense. No. I see you got to go really dark with it because we are talking about Infinity War.
Yep.
All right.
All right,
All right. Well, that's
I've got to wrap it up, but it's been fun talking to you. It's one of our more classic style of shows where we're not talking about makers and things that we're into because this week has been a well, crazy busy week, so. All right.
okay.
Well, thank you, sir. I will
Blow
talk to you later.
some steam off with you, bro.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.